Your own survival, some of you in the back should sit down now. That's threatening. I shouldn't do that, should I? Survival in college is everybody's concern, from taxpayer to new student. Certainly it is an appropriate theme for this year's conference. We are now about to have a panel discussion on academic survival. And following this panel, we are to organize into buzz groups. We want everyone to cooperate here, regardless of the color of your ribbon, for the purpose of generating suggestions about academic survival soon to be discussed by this panel. So listen thoughtfully to this 20-minute presentation and be prepared to express your response to this panel in the buzz groups to follow. Leading our panel on academic survival is a veteran of 26 years at Poly. He has served in numerous teaching and administrative capacities on both campuses, and his name is identified throughout the state with everything Cal Poly stands for. He is seen in just about every kind of student activity, and he is a good friend of co-curricular activities. Welcome, if you will, Administrative Vice President Dr. Robert E. Kennedy.
Thank you very much, Dean Lawson. And having just sat through a very interesting and enjoyable keynote speech from Vice President Andrews, I felt threatened from the rear on several occasions because those nice round-looking seats that you've provided here that look so soft at first seem to grow a rather pointed ridge as the time wore on. And so if this panel can complete this in less than 20 minutes, is that all right? Okay, so for your survival, as I mentioned, perhaps we can shorten part of it. I would like to introduce the panel first without having any of them say anything. You see, I'm warning them not to talk until they're called upon. But I want to make sure that you know that we have a group of experts here. The person on shall I call him the right end over there, Mr. Lowell Tom Dunnigan, is the Director of Institutional Studies at Cal Poly. He's a graduate of Iowa State University and the University of Southern California. Mr. Dunnigan was a research analyst and technician for the State Department of Education before he came to Cal Poly in 1961. And his job is to help us do the kind of institutional self-studies that will make Cal Poly a better place. Now, the center on this team is Dr. Joyce Stone, Dean of Counseling and Guidance, graduate of Brigham Young University and the University of Utah. He came to Cal Poly in 1961 after teaching at Brigham Young University and after being a psychological consultant for industry for a number of years. And the left end is Dr. Clyde Fisher, Dean of the Division of Applied Sciences. Dr. Fisher is a graduate of the University of Oklahoma and the University of Southern California. Prior to assuming administrative duties at Cal Poly, he was a faculty member in the mathematics department. Now, for the purpose of this panel, the students here at this 1966 Summit Conference are leaders and for the most part sophomores, juniors, and seniors. You have proved that you have the capability of academic survival, at least in part. Further, by volunteering to participate in Cal Poly's Week of Welcome, you have dedicated yourselves to assisting new students find their sea legs in a new environment. Now, unless our students quickly learn the skills necessary for academic survival, all the other efforts of orientation will be wasted motion. Now, you as successful students can be of great assistance in aiding new students by sharing with them suggestions for academic survival. In order to make this sharing experience as broad as possible, the panel members are going to share with you certain information which we feel will help you to do a better job in your contacts with new students, not only next week, but throughout the year. First, the panel will share with you some information on such aspects as 1, the extent of the problem, 2, the possible reasons for the problem existing at Cal Poly, and some psychological dimensions which can help you as Wow Week counselors help our new students. Now, when we finish that part of the program, we're going to have Dean Lawson divide the group into a number of buzz sessions for group development from your cumulative experience, positive suggestions which can be used by older students in helping younger, less experienced students survive academically. Now, let's define what this panel means by academic survival. We presume a student who goes to the trouble to enroll at Cal Poly has as his goal a desire to complete the curriculum he enters. For most students, the goal then becomes the achievement of a BS degree, preferably in 4 years. Since many students take longer than 4 years, however, we, for purposes of today's discussion, wish to stay within the following definition. A student who survives academically at Cal Poly is one who achieves a BS degree in from 4 to 6 years. Well, now, I'm not trying to be funny about that, because the fact is that there is a fairly large percentage of students who make it in 5 years, and quite a few who make it in 6. Now, in order not to confuse the issue in terms of the statistics that we will use, we don't wish to keep this on forever. Now, there are some who have gone as long as 10 years, but they're not necessarily full-time students, you understand. Because the faculty and staff at Cal Poly want our students to survive academically, and in all other ways too, we are concerned over the apparent waste of manpower when students who are by all standards capable of academic survival and yet fall by the wayside. Now, let me, for our first panel presentation, ask Mr. Dunnigan to share with you some information as to the extent of the problem. Mr. Dunnigan.
Is this mic on? Yes. All right, we're working against a fairly tight time schedule. I'd like to make 6 brief remarks, I hope, about the basic data on student persistence. When the panel is through and before you break up into the buzz groups, I'd like to have these one-page sheets passed out, which will repeat one or two of the items of data and possibly have one or two suggestions for you. First, about one-third of the new freshmen at Cal Poly persist to graduation, defined, as Dr. Kennedy did, as a bachelor's degree in up to 6 years after entrance. I should say right here that this is based on data from fall 1957 to fall 1960 entering freshmen. Perhaps our findings will be different now with new admission standards in the current new freshmen, perhaps. I'd like to break down the one-third slightly. We find that out of 100 entering freshmen, about 15 graduate in 4 years, another 15 in 5 years, and 3 or 4 more in 6 years. That's the one-third. About 50% of transfer students persist to graduation. Most of our transfers have already had about 2 years elsewhere before they come here, and again, the 50% is in up to 4 or 5 years. Point number 2. The one-third of the freshmen graduating, pardon me, I've already covered 2, we're up to 3 already. We have to say that we don't presently have data on the numbers of students who drop out, who go to other colleges, enroll, and graduate. Now, based on studies at other institutions, we can estimate fairly well, I think, that about a quarter, 25% of those who drop out here will transfer elsewhere And of those who do transfer elsewhere, perhaps half will eventually graduate. Number four. By far the largest loss or attrition of freshmen is before the sophomore year. About one-third of the freshmen don't enroll for the sophomore year. Another third are lost someplace along the line between sophomore and graduation, and a third graduate. One-third don't persist to the sophomore year. One-third fail to complete someplace along the line after that. One-third graduate. About 50% of the freshmen enroll in the junior year. I think this shows that whatever we can do, and I certainly believe we can do something positive about this, we need to do it in the freshman year. Number five. Of the freshman dropouts, over half are in academic difficulty, defined as a cumulative GPA of under 2.0. Over half, 57% is one figure, are in academic trouble. There are numerous other reasons, complex reasons, but that's one of the large ones. Now, you're wondering perhaps how this compares with some other institutions. And I should say right here that the academic aptitude or ability of the new students at Cal Poly compares favorably with that at other state colleges. So it's, you can't use that explanation. Number six and the last. It's hard to find data on student persistence at other colleges. Many times they don't have it. If they do have it, they're not too willing to share it at times. Experience at five of the other state colleges, including the Kellogg campus, is quite similar to that at San Luis Obispo. However, national data, the best we have on a really national basis is from the U.S. Office of Education on fall 1950 freshmen graduating in 1954, a sample of institutions across the country. 40% graduate in 4 years, with another 10% or more eventually from the first institution. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tom. Now that Mr. Dunnigan has indicated some of the proportions of the problem and has indicated, too, that perhaps Cal Poly is more severe in this respect than some other institutions, I would like to call on Dr. Clyde Fisher for a bit of information as to why he thinks perhaps Cal Poly's attrition is as it is. Dr. Fisher.
Thank you, Dr. Kennedy. At first, I thought when he introduced us and he said that he didn't want any comments that that was strictly an academic point of view, because as I look in front of me, I thought this was the end for the microscope, the microphone. I don't know really where this goes. After I found that it was connected, then I began to wonder and worry about the color of the microphone. If I may digress for a bit, maybe it's as a result of a story I told this panel when we were meeting day before yesterday. A story about a bright young man who was working on his doctorate dissertation. Can I do this? And he was involved in an automobile accident and unfortunately passed away. But he had been living a very good life, and so he went to heaven. And after he'd been up there a while, he got a little restless, and he went to St. Peter and asked if he could continue working on his dissertation. St. Peter said, well, yes, I think we can get a committee So they got a committee, and he went to work and was doing very well, made good progress. But just before he was to turn in his dissertation, he got a call from St. Peter to come to his office, and he went in, and St. Peter told him, sorry, he wouldn't be able to process the dissertation. He said, well, okay, I've been used to some disappointment, but could you tell me why? St. Peter said, well, if you promise not to tell anybody, and you have a record of keeping your promises, the young man said, yes, yes, I won't tell anybody, just tell me. He said, well, you know, every dissertation, before it's finally approved, has to have the approval of a dean. And we've looked all over up here, and that's why I have this one. I was going to fool him and say vice president, but I didn't. Seriously, I think there are many reasons which are valid ones, which cause some problems that are peculiar at Cal Poly. One of the most important of which, I believe, is the fact that our curricula are specially designed to accomplish more than that at most institutions. We not only expect our graduates to be good citizens, capable of providing leadership in their communities, capable of working well with other people, but we expect them to be occupationally proficient when they get their degree. Now, obviously, we can't do everything that every other college says it does and give this plus without something extra. Part of that extra is we require more units for graduation in Cal Poly than almost any institution you can find. 198 to 210 quarter units are required, depending on the curriculum. Most institutions require, on a quarter system basis, 180 to 186 units. This means that on the average, our students are having to carry one unit per term. 12 terms, that's an extra 12 units. That's about another quarter's work. A second reason, all of the degrees that we offer are Bachelor of Science degrees. We offer no Bachelor of Arts degrees. By state requirement, Bachelor of Science degrees require a 50% greater depth in the major than do Bachelor of Arts degrees. Every Bachelor of Science degree requires a minimum of 54 quarter units in the major. A Bachelor of Arts degree, if we offered such, would require only 36. So our depth is greater than at most institutions. A third reason is that almost all of our curricula are oriented very heavily in the laboratories. Laboratories take lots of time, as you well know. There is less time for kind of muddling through, as some institutions call their process. This makes it quite difficult for students. A fourth reason, in my opinion, that there is some justification for figures which might not seem to be too optimistic, is that the majority of our instructors have had experience outside the classroom. Now stop and think about that just for a minute. If a person has had experience only in the classroom and is only interested in the academic, the theoretic, it's not likely that they could offer a great deal in terms of this plus that we talk about. We go to great lengths to try to find faculty that have this extra in terms of their own background. If they gave you only the results of their academic and theoretical background, they wouldn't be doing what we expect them to do, and they wouldn't be requiring maybe so much. Now, there's another reason, in my opinion. Contrary to what some people believe, instructors are human, and they are guided by what they have to work with. And even though the academic aptitude of you people here and the others that are coming in this week is demonstrably higher than that of a few years ago. In general, instructors grade on the basis of the people in that class. Your achievement may be higher than the achievement was 10 years ago, but the grades aren't. The grades are roughly the same as they were. I think this is understandable when you stop to realize that there are no absolutes in the field of academic endeavor. Dr. Kennedy said, I used to teach math, which is true, and I enjoy it very much. Even in mathematics, contrary to what many people believe, there isn't an absolute. It depends on your assumptions. Most of you now have had some of the, quote, new math, and that 2 plus 2 equals 4 only if you define your terms and you agreed what 4 is. 2 plus 2 might be equal to 3. Now, some adults who never heard of this kind of math think when you say that you're completely off your rocker. Well, in the classroom, there are no absolutes. But remember, whatever standard the instructor sets, that's the absolute so far as you're concerned, as long as you're in his course. So there are many, many reasons why students do not succeed, and I think there are some that are unique to us at Cal Poly. We didn't set out just to make it tough, to be tough. We set out certain objectives which we hope to achieve, and we hope that you young people achieve, and the new ones coming in. We believe it's worth the extra effort, but I think it's essential that we recognize that it does require extra effort, and that we take steps to encourage other people to take those steps that would prove successful for them.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fisher. Now, you know, one of the purposes of a panel is for them to argue back and forth, and it makes it a lot more interesting. And I thought of a lot of arguments I could give Dean Fisher there, but the trouble is the seats are going to get hard, and it's not nice for the vice president to argue with a dean in front of all these people, you know. And so we'll wait a little while until I can think of some more arguments. I do want to now introduce Dr. Stone, and before he gives us some of these psychological dimensions, I want to point out another factor in regard to his background. We have appointed a committee at the San Luis Obispo campus, a committee on the study of student persistence. The committee involves representatives from the Faculty Staff Council, from the Executive Council, from the student body. The chairman of that committee is Dr. Stone, and some of the material that committee has developed during this past year will be presented to the faculty and staff members at the beginning of this year. I mention this to you so that you will realize that we are approaching what we hope will be some improvements, not only by talking to you people and asking you people to do something about it, but we recognize the fact that unless all of our administrative and faculty members are equally aware of the problem and are concerned about it, that we may not find as many solutions as we might otherwise find. And now, Dr. Stone, would you talk give them some information about the psychological implications?
That's the prerogative of making a brief comment about the committee that Dr. Kennedy referred to. It is a committee on campus which does have student composition. There are three members of the student body who worked with us this last year, that is the winter and spring quarters. Whether these same people will be back this year, I haven't learned as yet. There was a question about I know one will not, whether the other two will not, I don't know. We will be in touch with Mr. Evans early in the next week or two for replacements as we need them. We might say that the problem of helping students, yourselves and those who enroll this fall, to graduate from Cal Poly at some time is a conjoint problem, as you have had emphasized to you from several circles today. And through the assistance of the students such as yourself, with these new students coming on, we hope to achieve a great deal more. I'd like to speak about that role for a moment as one of the psychological dimensions, if you wish. It happens, as you so well know, that you people in bracket will listen more to each other than you will to any of the generation ahead of you. One of the problems, as has already been identified, is the fact that your parents and the adults in our generations ahead of you, for some reason, don't know the right answers and can't move with the speed and provide you with the substance that you want to get on in life. It has been said if there is anything that is characteristic of your generation more than previous ones, it is your impatience to go on. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but it does provide some strains. As such, you are under those strained conditions, in a sense, you are desirous usually of the acceptance and the advice of those who think as you do or whom you feel see your point of view better. This is natural. We feel that it ought to be capitalized on here at Cal Poly, and of course the spirit of this summit conference is in that very direction, that because you are closer to the new students, not only in age but also in background and in interests and desires, that they will be more likely to be influenced effectively by you while they are undertaking their beginnings here at Cal Poly and through the years that they may be here sharing with you in the educational experiences. This is a very important relationship. We feel that it cannot be emphasized enough. We feel that in realizing your role there, you should recognize the importance that you have in being able to provide sound wisdom and information and to help in the development of points of view among the new students coming in. And the exercises that you will be asked to pursue in the next short while are directed in that very vein. I should like to provide to you only two comments that might serve as a guide to you. I should like to say them in the way that I say them to my kids. Dr. Andrews' reference to his philosophy, mine's along the same line, but I say it a little differently. I point out to my kids that it doesn't take any brains at all to be stupid. And then I come back with the next one while they are still trying to catch their breath and saying it doesn't take any effort at all to be a nobody. Now, you think about that a minute, and I think that perhaps you'll get what I'm trying to drive at in your relationship to the new students coming here. If they wish to amount to something, whatever it is they want to amount to is up to them. We're not defining in all ways the things that they should have as their goals in life. We're merely specifying, as you have heard so much in your career at Cal Poly and reemphasized here today, that the collegiate institution here at San Luis Obispo provides a real background and a functional relationship with the student to begin to amount to something in ways that he would like as far as college education can provide. But whatever he wants to do, he's got to go about the business of doing it. And as you so well know, if you've had difficulties in any of your classes, this matter of using your brains requires a considerable amount of energy and effort. If it is possible, in your discussions individually and collectively with the students with whom you associate during WOW Week, these new young men and women, if it is possible for you to get across to them in one way or another the necessity for their realizing that they must use their intelligence to the best of their ability, that it is to their advantage to do so, that whatever it is that they wish to achieve in college to help them to achieve in life, they better get underway solidly. To the extent to which the new students coming here can start off with a real desire and a strong effort to succeed, to that extent, they're that much further ahead. A little device that might be helpful to you in recognizing this is that when a student goes to college, he embarks on a work week comparable to the 40-hour work week in the occupations and professions plus another half day. Calculating it on this basis, that if a student pursues a 15-unit program and allows for 2 hours of study for every unit pursued, this amounts to 45 hours, which is a five-and-a-half-day work week. Many freshmen coming to college don't understand this. They don't understand the fact that they're in a different league, that the rules are a little different, that they're allowed more freedom in many ways, but that they are brought to an accounting on a more certain basis than they ever were in their public school or private school programs before. And this is what I mean then in pointing up again in reiteration and conclusion the necessity to point out to these youth that it doesn't take any brains at all to be stupid, and it doesn't take any effort at all to be nobody. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stone. Now, before I ask Dr. Lawson to come back up here and assist in the organizing of the buzz groups, I would like to make certain that if there are any unanswered questions or any clarifications that you people would like in terms of what the problem is, that you would ask this now. I'm sure there are some questions, and we are anxious to clarify it, because what we want you to do, as I said earlier, is we're going to ask the buzz sessions to think through in a basis of your cumulative experience of the kinds of suggestions that you might have for immediate use by a new student as to ways to succeed academically. Well, for example, there is a manual in the bookstore on how to study. Mr. Dunnigan didn't mention it, but he ran a little survey on some classes that were given in which that little book was used. And as I recall, there was an appreciable increase statistically in the ability of the students who used that book, took that course, to succeed, and those who did not. Now, this is not a very valid study because it was with too few students, but we think the book has some very fine suggestions. So one of the suggestions that could be made is get a copy of the book and study it. The book only costs $2, and I didn't write it and I didn't publish it, and I'm not making any money out of it, but I hope that, as Vice President Andrews said, a student could invest $2 with that book, and if it enabled him to complete 4 years of college, it might be worth $180,000 extra to him. I'm not absolutely certain, Dale, about whether that works on that $45,000 a year basis, because in a way I have a feeling that the real goal is also the real payoff, that it's the degree in hand that opens the door in many instances, and I'm not so sure that the $180,000 extra isn't maybe the extra for the 4 years, and maybe you can't evaluate this on the basis of $45,000 each year. So, in fact, I suggest that you don't say to a freshman student, stick out 1 year and you'll make $45,000 more than you would have, because some of them are going to just say, well, let's see, that's enough, you know, $45,000, I'll take it. Do you have any questions? Oh, yes. Well, I'm going to have Dan Lawson come up here right now and tell you what you're going to do. You had your last opportunity to ask me a question. Now Dan's going to take over, and he's going to tell you how we're going to work this. Thank you.
Get some volunteers to have those passed out.
Mr. Dunnigan would like all the girls from Ocean Pines to come up and help pass out these sheets. Ocean Pine girls, please.
Yeah.
Wayne, where are they? Move.
Here, I'll help. You go ahead and talk.
Okay, many of you have been in buzz groups before, and this is not going to be anything different than you've seen before. We're in groups of six, and we think if you had about 10 minutes together, you should come up with some suggestions and perhaps even some questions that you weren't able to generate alone, which we can kick around here in a few minutes. Could we have the Pinecrest girls up here now? We have another job.
There are personal reasons when students leave school. We don't try at this particular moment to say that what we're trying to do is to make captives of all students who enter as freshmen and somehow or other lock them up and make sure they stay here 4 years, and that somehow or other this will make a success out of the student. This is not what we're after. We merely mean that to make it as simple as possible when we're talking about what is academic survival, we're merely saying that if the student's objective is to come here, go to school, and get a degree, and I should even make an exception to this point. You see, there are some 300 students in the agricultural division who are enrolled in technical agriculture, which is a 2-year terminal program, who, when they come here, have as a definite objective the completion of a 2-year technical program, and they are not seeking a degree. When those students drop out at the end of 2 years, they have completed their objective. Now, the statistics that we're using regarding dropout does not include those 300 students, so this was not a part of the problem. But we don't believe that every student ought to necessarily complete 4 years of college, we do think that he ought to, if that is his objective, we ought to do everything we can to help him achieve it.
You could have it back. Jeez. More questions. Tom.
You gentlemen, as administrators, feel that the probably backward system of putting specific training at the beginning of the 4-year college program, do you feel that this is harmful or discouraging to those students who are uncommitted?
Dr. Fisher.
Thank you. As a general statement, people are motivated to do things that they are interested in. Sounds trite. One of the biggest reasons for dropout, according to various studies throughout the country in other institutions, has been the fact that the student has not been able to get with his interest in college. There is no doubt but what our specificity of programs beginning in the freshman year causes problems to some students who are not, as you termed it, committed to a major. But as a general statement, our institution is convinced that the beginning of subject matter material in the freshman year of the major is helpful, both motivationally and also in terms of developing some skills as a part of the total program, rather than waiting until the junior or senior year and just picking up theory. As a concept, yes, it is fundamental in our approach.
You want to follow that up, Tom? Dr. Stone, would you handle that one?
Tom, I think this, one reason I'd like to respond is that it sounds like this is an either-or argument, and I don't think it is. We can say that in the institutions where they can do what they want and not commit themselves to anything, that this is an advantage. My experience in working in such institutions and operating counseling programs there and here tells me differently. The major reason is that in institutions where you have no concern for a major during your first couple of years or ever, that the institution as a general rule does not do very much to try to help the student to figure this out. Now, At Cal Poly, where many students have majors specified at enrollment which are not as well-defined or as thoroughly, they're not committed to them, as you used the term, this is true. However, at Cal Poly, under the system that we have, there is an effort on the part of the college to try to help that 50% or whatever it may be to develop a commitment either within the stated major or within a major that would be more satisfactory to the student. Now, to say that this is 100% successful or that we generate all of the ability that we can to solve this problem would be incorrect. But I do believe, and I believe that we could defend this very well in comparison to the non-commitment type program, that the student in this setting is more likely to generate an interest and more likely to come to a solid interest earlier and come to one, whereas in many of the other situations, a lot of those students never really arrive.
George.
The major answer that I would give to that is a very specific one, and that is to have the students come over. Our major complaint with that question when we hear it is, who has made the complaint and have they been in? We have found that a good number of students think that the counseling center is only there for a particular reason, and that's for individuals who have emotional or personal problems. This applies to some. But if you have students, yourselves or others as going along who have concern for their educational career, send them over. We can help them. We can't do them a blasted bit of good if they don't get there.
Dr. Stone, it's possible that not everyone here knows the test interpretation part of Welcome Week on campus program is known. Would you give us a minute of that? We do have a test interpretation program for all new students this week.
In the direction of trying to upgrade the guidance part of a student's beginning in college. Last year, we were in a position to meet with all of the new students during WOW Week in groups and to give to them the results of the test that they took and to give some idea of what the implications of that information might be for their major, for their success in college, and possible problems that might arise. Now, that doesn't do the job, but it is a beginning. We will be doing the same thing again this year. Last year, we had 1,400 of the new students who came in at that time appear and participate in those discussions. What the participation this year will be, we don't know. We hope that the majority of the new students coming here will take advantage of that opportunity to get information about themselves. A follow-up from that, we would hope, too, that where there are questions in the minds of the student as to the desirability of his program or some concern about whether he's in the right field, etc., that he would take advantage from there then of coming into the counseling center and using what resources we have that can work with the problem. We've got the resources and the staff is well qualified to do these things. We have the money behind us. We have whatever resources are necessary in order to help. We feel capable enough of doing it. We're hopeful that the students will take advantage of it.
Dr. Fisher.
There is a very important aspect of our operations at the college that many students coming in from high school or junior college do not recognize, and that is our academic advisors. In the high school and junior college, the academic advising and counseling is all done by specially identified counselors. Cal Poly has a rather unique requirement that every faculty member schedule at least, as an absolute minimum, 5 office hours per week, 1 per day. Now, many, many instructors are in their offices with no students, so they do other things. But they have to schedule those 5 hours, and you find them those hours posted outside their doors. Those hours are to guarantee the availability of the instructor to students at Cal Poly. And those instructors not only assist in the courses that the students might be taking, but also in academic advising in general, interest problems that students might have, and otherwise. Many, many colleges do not require their instructors to have office hours. We do. We think it's a good thing. We believe it's one way of making instructors readily available to students. Many students do not take advantage of this tremendous opportunity.
Here's a question.
Ron Nelson.
Well, I think maybe the significant point that you're making is that he set on the point. The significance of what you just said is very important to us. We have assumed for a number of years that many of these things were known to new students because we put them in printed materials. We mentioned them to them in certain situations where they were in contact with their adult counselors and so on. And we then look at the statistics and we know that we have a considerable number of students who are not persisting as far as we think they should. So one of a number of efforts which we are making this year to improve the situation was based upon the concept that Dr. Stone mentioned earlier, and that is that students will take advice from their peers better than they will from someone else. For example, if one of you students, in talking to some of the freshmen this next week, were to explain to them the advantage of, let's say, going to that counseling center if they have any doubt at all. And don't be afraid to go to the counseling center, just go to it. You don't have to make a big pitch out of it, and they will hear you. Now, if I get up and make a speech in front of some class sometime about this, most of these students will be thinking about some girl, they'll be thinking about some boy, they'll be thinking about what they're going to do that night, and they're not even tuned in. And I'm not sure how many of you are tuned in right now either, you see. But there's a couple up there that are tuned in. And you see, all we have to do is make a little progress every year. As somebody said earlier, I'm a veteran, you know, of 26 years. Well, I've seen a lot of progress at Cal Poly in 26 years. I may not make another 26, but I'll bet you there'll be a lot more progress in the next 26. So we want your help. This is what we're after now. We think that the things we did in the past didn't work very well. Well, let's say they worked fine, but we want them perfect. How's that? And we want your help to do it. And now, two of the things that have been said now, if they were on that list that you're preparing and you're going to report back to us, one of the things this group is going to do, going to collect the cards that you have, and we're going to go through them, and we're going to take out the one that says, you know, like a good suggestion how to get through school in 4 years. One of them is going to say, cheat a lot. We're going to cross that one out. We're not going to put that in the list. But we're going to take all of the pretty good suggestions, and we're going to give those back to you so that you will have the cumulative effort of all of the people here. Dan?
Jim Macbeth, you have a good group? Okay.
Tell you that if you take 13 units and drop all extracurricular activities,
Well, more than that, I need to find out specifically your comment, because this, without being argumentative on the point, this is not characteristic of the way that they work, and I need to know more about it. And I would appreciate very much knowing the specific instances and the specific counselors.
One of the purposes of this conference...
We need to grow, and we don't know it without the comment.
...is to make it possible for us to get together on things like this, and I hope you two will have dinner together. Also, one of the purposes of bus groups, you know, it submerges the situation into a group of five or six or seven people. And that probably wasn't Jim's problem. It was someone else's problem, right? Any other questions? Right. Okay, thank you for that comment. We have one group here that has 14 suggestions that they generated in 10 minutes, and I'm going to ask the spokesman to come up and give you those 14 comments, and you may want to add to these or comment on some of them. Would you be willing to do that? That may help our panel. Right. You may have the microphone.
Okay. Number one, form regular study habits. Number two, get to know instructors. Number three, go for help when you need it. Number four, don't be afraid to ask questions or talk in class. Number five, try to get interested in the class. Number six, find out some good teachers. Number seven, don't carry too heavy a load. Number eight, don't overburden yourself with too many extra activities. Number nine, don't be afraid to change your major. Number 10, make use of counseling center. Number 11, join your department club, and it's very important to do that. Number 12, when you need to study, A, live off campus, B, buy earplugs, C, shove a talking neighbor out the door. And 13, don't study two subjects of the same type at the same time. And 14, try to get a roommate of your own major.
This leads us up to the point of telling you we would like all of your cards, and the panel will review them and analyze them, and tomorrow morning we will be able to distribute both to the campus counselors and to the camp counselors a summary of the best thinking of these buzz groups. Now, we're not quite ready to finish. If you would like to communicate further with the panel, or you still have the floor. Anyone?
We'd like their cards.
We do want the cards, yes. And that's on your card, right?
Dan, could I make one comment? The sheets, the white sheets that were passed out, very little data, but the suggestion about the How to Study manual, it's my understanding these will be in the package of materials for all new students. It might be a lead-in if you want to pursue this subject further with them, and I hope you will.
Bob Spink has been eating cookies up there for 15 minutes. And I suppose we'll have to go back to campus to get some more. But we've now reached time for a little refreshment break, 15 minutes, as a matter of fact. Bring your cards up, all of you with these cards, please.